I want to talk to us today, thank you, about the principle, dominant thoughts. The principle that your life is always going in the direction of your dominant thoughts. Your life is always heading in the direction of your dominant thoughts. Say it with me if you will. My life is always going in the direction. Come on, let's say it together. My life is always heading in the direction of my dominant thoughts. Just forgive me for a second because I've just remembered those gifts over there. Sorry, Ange. I just forgot all of it. Just as I saw them then. These gifts are for the Father's Day. If you're a male today, there's a gift over there. Don't take the eclairs, they're mine. The eclairs, Carol, where's Carol? Carol, you get those eclairs, girl. You run now. Because I need a secret stash in my car. Well, it's not a secret, I've just told you. Because when my grandkids get in the car, they always think their dominant thought is to, Grandad, have you got sweets in the glove compartment? You know I have, Harper. That's why you're asking me. So I always have a stash of sweets, knowing that when Phil gets in the car or when Harper gets in the car, one of them's going to go for the sweets. Yeah. You know, he always says, you're always munching sweets. But when I offer him one, he has one. He does. So your dominant your life is always taking you in the direction of your dominant thought. You know, when you woke up this morning, you had maybe three dominant thoughts. When the first thing your eyes opened up, one, I've either got to go to the toilet, depending on how old you are, I've got to go to the toilet. The second thought you may have had is, I need coffee, or I need tea, or I need it now. Yeah? And it's amazing how once we wake up in the morning, our mind begins to focus on something. Are you one of those that's got a foggy mind in the morning? First thing I do when I get up in the morning is I head for the bathroom and I clean my teeth. That's my dominant thought. The first, before I do anything else, before I've had a drink, anything to eat, I go straight into the bathroom and clean my teeth. That's my first to do. That's my dominant thought when I get up. Then, once I've cleaned my teeth, other thoughts will then begin to direct me. Dominant thoughts move us in directions, and with directions becomes actions or behaviors and actions. Dominant thoughts are very powerful things, and I'll show you this morning. Your thoughts are like the rudder of a ship. You know, the Bible talks about our mouth, but think about it. The mouth is connected to the brain. Yeah? It's almost like they're in sync with each other. Sometimes the mouth says, let me go. The mouth says, let me speak. And the brain says, no, shh, don't. That gets out your mouth, we're dead. Shh. Even a smart man looks smart if he keeps his mouth shut. Yeah? But very often, that problem of your brain telling your mouth to open and your mouth saying, no way, I'm not saying that. You see, once you've said it, you can't say, my brain said it. Because you've said it, you and your brain are one. Oh, sometimes they think differently. But so we know that it's like it's the rudder of a ship. It steers us in directions. Why? Because the thoughts drive in our mind, and the mouth somehow has to release what the brain's been thinking. And it gets us in all kinds of trouble. Or does it? Is that just me? No, it gets us in trouble. The dominant thoughts get us in trouble, and all dominant thoughts are not negative. There are positive and negative. Yes? So you've got to find out the balance, or get the balance and control it. Self-control must be able to control what's positive, what's constructive, what's negative, and what's destructive. You must know the difference. You must know the difference. That's why the fruit of self-control is a fruit. You can't just say what you think. You have to control what you think. And what you say has to be measured. And then the scriptures say it has to be spoken in love. You saying what you think, how you think, you might think, I'm pretty smart. But you did not say it constructively. You did not say it in love. And scripture says that's bang out of order. But many people do it. We're all guilty of it. Every one of us is guilty of saying something. You know, I had a conversation only this week with a Jehovah's Witness. And walking through the park, I'm on my prayer walk, as I am, and this old, rather old gentleman says, can I have a word with you, young man? Young man. See, I'm not a well-doing. young man. I thought, I like you straight away, Jimmy. You're going to heaven, you're in. Anyway, we started. Within 10 seconds, we were on different pages. So he says to me, I can't help but noticing you're quite defensive. You're quite aggressive. What? I'm defensive, aggressive. So I said, is that because I don't agree with you? So he kept talking and talking and talking, and I kept asking him a question, but he would never answer the question. He would keep going left, right, and then he'd say to me, so I said to him, look, if you're not going to answer a question, my question, what's the point of us continue talking? So he said, you're quite defensive, aren't you? So I'm walking away, as I'm walking away, I'm thinking, that's not what I thought I was going to walk. When I on my prayer walk this morning, I did not expect this. So then I started feeling guilty about myself. Lord, I started thinking, Lord, was it too aggressive? Was it too hard? Lord, I'm sorry. Because I've been asking the Lord to teach me how to fish. Yeah. Right? That's been my prayer, Lord, teach me how to fish. Because he said he will make us fishers of men. So that thought came to me a couple of days ago, and I've been praying, Lord, teach me how to fish. I don't fish naturally. I've never fished. The least I've got to a fish is I've got one out of the chip shop. Right? I don't go fishing, and I'm not, you know, it's just not my thing. However, but I need to teach how to win people for Christ. So this was a good exercise, I think not. I felt really negative. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. As I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord, he comes riding back up on his bike. And I dropped a pen drive, you know, you flash drive it in your computer. I must have dropped it out of my pocket when I was sat with him. And he comes up and I says to him, look, I apologize if I've come across negatively or anything like that. But we're just miles apart, me and you. You have your understanding. I have my understanding. So then, but at least I left it then. I put it right with him if there was anything. And again, I closed the chapter so he had no opportunity. And I'm thinking, Lord, you're teaching me how to fish here. It wasn't a great experience, but I'm glad I did it. And there's nothing worse than maybe a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon to try and cut your teeth into. They're not always, you want some water though? No. And it's not easy, but it was a dominant thought in his mind that I'm being negative because I'm not accepting what he wanted. And it was then it became a dominant thought in my mind that am I being negative? I don't want to come across like that. You may be wrong, you may be right, but you can still control your attitude. So I check myself. But anyway, let's go to Isaiah 55 verse 8. See, your dominant thoughts will always connect to your emotions. This is the danger of a dominant thought. Good or bad, it has to be controlled because it's connected to your emotions. So how many times have you heard somebody say, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. Right, so the emotions are what drives your mouth. Is that true? So we have to be very, very careful how we say things because the emotions are always attached to our thoughts. Because then our thoughts combine together with and they become actions and behaviors which can become good or bad. We know that. So in Isaiah 55 verse 8, this is God speaking to man, and this is what God says about his dominant thoughts. Because God is a dominant thought thinking God. Do you know that? God's thoughts are not your thoughts. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So just like this gentleman talking to me, Johnny was called, funny enough. John was talking to me. His thoughts were not my thoughts. My thoughts were not his thoughts. And here the Father says to us, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways and my ways. Why? Because thoughts and ways go together. Declares the Lord, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours. And my thoughts than your thoughts. So there is a misalignment between heaven and earth. So now you and I have to find out the ways and the thoughts of God for our life. Amen. Because his thoughts are not like your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. What you think you are justified to do is not the way God thinks. So one is lower, one is superior. One, John the Baptist said it like this, I must decrease and he must increase. So I must find his ways, his thoughts. That's why again the Bible tells us, find out what pleases the Lord. His perfect, pleasing, acceptable will. So we have to know the thoughts of God, which means you and I will have to submit our thinking to a higher source. Amen. And you have to acknowledge when your ways and your thoughts are not in line with God's. Jesus, when he was in Gethsemane, said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. My thoughts say, if this cup is possible, take it from me. But your thoughts say, I should take this cup because mankind needs me to take this cup. So therefore, I will align my actions and my thinking according to your will. Now that's the journey we're all on. So let's go to Psalm 139. Now this is man speaking to God. So in Isaiah 55 verse 8, we see God was speaking to man. But now we're going to see the reverse. We're now going to see man's understanding of God's words and his thoughts. It says in Psalm 139 verse 17, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The word of God, the ways of God, and the will of God for you are fixed. So God is dominant in his thinking about what he has purposed for you and for us. So God won't change his mind because he's had eternity to work it out. Johnny come lately thinks he can change God's mind. God says, I see the end from the beginning. You see the now. That's all you see. So why don't you trust that the one who was, who is, and always will be? The one who sees the end from the beginning. The one who works all things for our good. He says, trust me. Trust me to know what's good for you. But Lord, there is no buts. But maybe, there's no maybes. God works from a dominant, fixed position. We need to understand his ways. Your thoughts are not his thoughts. But you can know his thoughts. Amen. You can know his thoughts. And we'll look at this in a second. So you may have been brought into this world in a, let's just say, not in the most perfect circumstances. But God knew what he was doing, despite how you got here. It's not a perfect world, in case you've noticed. We don't have perfect parents. There are no perfect scenarios. We live in an imperfect world. So things are always going wrong. But yet, things are always going according to the purposes of God. Yeah? We may not have chosen our parents. Our parents chose us, but we did not choose our parents. But now when you're born, you choose to love them. You choose to honor them. Your choice. And it has to become a dominant thought. Why? Because the Bible says it will go well with you. Amen. Yeah? There are circumstances that go along with this dominant thought. Honor your parents and it will go well. We may not have chosen the school that we went to. Our parents may have chosen that school. We may not have chose the teachers, but we learned, didn't we? We learned. It wasn't perfect, but we learned. We didn't choose our neighborhood. Our mothers and fathers bought a house, rented a house, whatever it is. We were raised in that neighborhood. And that neighborhood then raised us. And you know what that neighborhood did? It gave you a sense of identity and pride. I'm glad I was born in Openshaw. To me, that's my version of Nazareth. No, in fact, the house I was born in, it had no internal doors. So my dad used to say to me, is that why you don't shut the door anywhere you go in the house? I said, well, I was born with a house with no doors. You may not have chose the government who's leading us, but we are blessed. We are blessed. You see, all these things you didn't choose. But now as you grow, you've got to get a perspective on them. Because if you don't get a perspective on these things, and what I've noticed is people who are victims to some degree of these things, these things become the dominant thoughts in those people as they try and move and transition through life. And I see these are the people that are the most troubled in our nation because the past has become the dominant future today. The dominant thoughts, should I say, that cloud their future. And they're always struggling to shake off the past. From maybe a fathering issue, a mothering issue, a teacher issue, an abuse issue, or whatever. These are real things. These are powerful things. These are dominant things. But these are things that cause people to carry scars through life. And God knows these things are in us. But when these thoughts are dominating us all the time, we need help. We need to call on a higher source. Because the first thing God will do is, he says to Dave, there's no justification. I understand why your heart may be like that towards your parents. I'm not saying this is. I understand that, but son, that's not my way. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. So let me talk to you about this. Let me touch your heart. Let me educate you. Have you got capacity in there? And as Dave begins to open his heart, God brings him to his ways of thinking. But you've got to come to that place. Because God sees the dominant destructive thoughts that are in man. And every day, destructive thoughts are destroying other people around. It's not just you. You then begin, it becomes a behavior and an attitude that then begins to affect the wider circle. And then generations are then affected. So dominant thoughts can be powerful, beautiful things, but they can be so destructive. Amen? So a dominant thought is a seed that is planted. A dominant thought is a seed that is planted either through words, through an action, or through an observation. Yes? Either through an action, an observation. What else did I say? Third one. Can't remember what it was. Thought, action, observation. Yeah, we'll go there. Let's go to Ezekiel 38. Now, just watch the way a dominant thought changes people's behavior. In this scripture, I want to show you how a dominant thought, when it comes into your mind, it changes your nature, or it seizes the nature inside of you. That's a better way to say it. A dominant thought will seize the dominant nature within you. If you have a destructive nature, a dominant thought will move towards destructive actions. If you have a good heart, a dominant thought will move you towards positive. But watch what happened in here in Ezekiel. This is just one example of a dominant thought, how it moved people to a destructive action. Watch this. Ezekiel 38 verse 10. He said, this is what the sovereign Lord says. On that day, thoughts will come into your mind, and you will devise an evil scheme. You will say, I will invade a land of unwalled villages, and I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people. Wow. And all of them living without walls and without gates and bars. So there's one group of people who's got no defense mechanisms. And an evil thought came into this, on this day, the Bible tells us, an evil thought will come into your mind and it will drive you to a destructive behavior. What happened with Judas? The Bible tells us that the evil spirit entered into him. And that was it. He carried out his betrayal. What happened to Saul? Saul had a dominant thought. He was jealous. Jealousy. Jealousy caused him to try and kill David. Dominant thoughts. Now, you don't fight anger with anger. They say if you're a boxer, you never fight angry. You fight tactically. Because anger will only get, will burn you out, and you'll swing and you'll make decisions that are not wise. Boxing's tactical. This is not combat in that sense. So, if my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, then what do the thoughts of God actually look like? Is that not a fair question to ask? What do the thoughts of God actually look like? Well, he tells us in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, picking up the thought that a dominant thought is a seed that's implanted into us. Now let's see, we're moving, if God's ways are not our ways, God wants to move us into his ways, so God has to implant his seed into us. Would you all agree with that? God has to implant a seed into us so that our ways align to his ways. So let's see where he starts. This is just one of the ways God implants his seed into our hearts. Just one of the ways, but it's a very powerful way. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, and he wakens my ears to listen, one like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious, and I have not drawn back. Let me read that same scripture to you in the New American Standard Bible, because he uses a word that I think is key. The Lord God has given me the tongue, listen, of a disciple. Now that's a key word. He didn't say, the Lord has given me an instructed tongue, like the NIV says. He said, the Lord has given me the tongue of a disciple. A disciple. Why a disciple? Because the disciple is one who represents Christ. So, the first condition of God speaking so that you can know his voice is so that you will become his disciple. Hello? Anybody qualify? Disciples is what God speaks to. And then he says this, so that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I wasn't disobedient, nor did I turn back. So your tongue is the rudder of a ship. Dominant thoughts come into your mind. They send a signal to your mouth that you begin to, it begins to reveal the intent of your hearts and your thinking. And it begins to channel your thoughts and your feelings into a specific pathway. Job said it like this: my troubled thoughts prompt me to answer because I'm greatly disturbed. So there'll always be a response, but it cannot always be an emotional response. I hear a rebuke that dishonors me, and my understanding, this is what Joe says, inspires me to reply. So your tongue is the rudder, so we've got to be careful. You have thoughts in your mind, you begin to speak them out, it begins to be channeled. Okay, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue. Let's say that slowly. The sovereign Lord has given me. Stop there. Given me. So there's something that I can receive. So there's now a download so I can begin to step in and tap into his thoughts. The sovereign Lord has given me. Moi. Given you. Given us. What's he given us? An instructed tongue. Yes? Says the psalmist. Now, this word coming into your mind, how do you know it's of God? Well, you have to speak it out. Yeah. You have to speak it out so that your own ears can hear what your mind is receiving. You have to speak it out. Let your own ears hear what's in your mind. But don't speak it anywhere. Speak it to yourself. Speak it to yourself. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Not everything you hear in your mind is of God. That's why you need to speak it out. Let your own ears hear it. Let your own spirit feel it. Are you with me? The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue, says the psalmist. I must speak it in order my ears can hear it. I practice self-talk. I know it might look crazy, but how many people are walking down the road today with a phone and they're just talking to themselves? They've got their ears on. And you're thinking, whoa, they look crazy. But they're not. They're having a conversation. So you get away with it. You'll get away. If you keep talking to yourself, people are always on the phone now. Doesn't matter. Find your space to talk to yourself. And let your own ears, it's important that you let your own ears hear what is inside of you. Faith will come. It's amazing sometimes as I'm preaching, and I'm not thinking necessarily about I should say this or say that. As I'm speaking, my ears hear what's being said. I'm thinking, wow. Wow. My spirit's declaring things that my mind hasn't even thought about. And as I'm speaking, my ears hear it. It's like, how many times I say to Phil, one of the graces that God has given to me, and I've recognized how it works in me, is that as I'm reading scripture out to you, understanding comes to me as I'm reading scripture. So you're getting it fresh off the press. I don't sit in my office think, oh yeah, I do on some scriptures, but I've now learned to trust, read the scripture and let understanding come to you as you read it out. Yes. And my ears are hearing and I grab it. Why? Because it wasn't the dominant thought. But as I hear it being spoken, now I grab it and lean into it. That's what faith does. If you'll find your place to speak your thoughts, then when you hear it, capture it. Capture it. Why? Because this is the word to sustain the weary. The Lord is just not speaking to you for speaking's sake. He gives you a word to sustain the weary. The weary. The weary. But you have to recognize it's the word. And as you speak it out, you'll know there's a word there for the weary. Yeah? So let's think of it like this. I want you to see it like this. On your phone, there are apps of many kinds. Everybody, everything today works from an app. Yeah? Anybody not know what an app is? Okay? It's an app on your phone that gives you access to understanding or an operating whatever it is. You know, whether it's information, whether it's whatever, blah, blah, blah. Okay? When God speaks to us, God will subconsciously download his app. I found this to be true. So a thought comes into your mind. It's not the dominant thought. A thought comes into your mind. Right? Your consciously went in, but you give it no time, you give it no space, you give it no energy. But you realize that you had the thought. Then all of a sudden, a day later, something happens, and you went, I had that thought yesterday. I had that thought. Now you've had it twice. Now you've recognized it. This is the same thought I had 2 days ago. And then a couple of days later, something happens again. Then all of a sudden, I had the same thing last night. We were out. A thought came into me to say something. And I thought, I'll wait. I'll just hold back with the thoughts in there, conscious. This was a conscious thought. Then I begin to have a conversation later on. And straight away, this person begins to talk to me. And it was the conversation we needed. But it had already been on my radar. Half an hour before. Subconsciously, let's open, let's see where this goes. So we did. So then what happens is someone comes along and Paul may use the very phrase that I've been thinking. Now, it's not coincidence. I'm beginning to see that the app was already downloaded. Now I know the voice. Now I know there's something going on here, Lord. What are you saying to me? Now I'm conscious that God has spoken and dropped something inside my heart. I'm calling it an app. And the moment now I'm conscious that God is maybe speaking to me in this area, I can go to the app and open it and see what are the features behind it. God, what is it you're wanting to reveal to me? What is it you're wanting to speak to me about? You've got to understand how God speaks. And he drops thoughts into our minds, but they're not always dominant at the time. They're just kind of random thoughts. And because it's random, you don't give it much attention. Until somebody else says something, you go, well, that's twice. And if you can pick this up earlier, you can get into it quicker. So it's all about your response time to recognizing how the voice of God speaks. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Are you with me? So the quicker you can hear this, the quicker you can move towards it. And I go, I now know. Like when God spoke to me about the Dream Center, call it the Dream Center, it was so dominant that it came at me like an arrow across the room. And I didn't need a second conversation. It just woke me up. Everything inside me just lit up. And I knew, this is what God has spoken. And I walked out of that meeting. I couldn't tell you what the preacher said. I went to that place to hear what God had to say to me. But I thought he was going to come through the preacher. But guess what? If the preacher hadn't been preaching, God couldn't have spoke. Well, God could have spoke. But God did speak. And it was in your old place. Yeah. So I can even take you back to the seat where I was. I remember the place. Exactly as God spoke. That was a dominant thought. And I came out and began to talk to David at the time and Phil about what God had said to me. There's dominant thoughts. If you can pick it up quicker, they don't come as dominant thoughts. They come as ideas, thoughts. And then somebody else says something and then you begin to put the jigsaw piece together, the puzzle together, and you begin to see God may be speaking. Then at that point, you begin to inquire from the Lord, what is it you're speaking to me about? And he says this here. He awakens my ear like one being taught. He awakens me so I can be taught. There is two processes. There are two distinct steps in this process. Awakening you so then he can then teach you. Some of us need awakening first, and I'm trying to do that this morning by telling you how the app works. Yeah. Recognize it's in your heart. Yeah. It's been there for a while, and now you catch up with it, think you're now putting the pieces together. This could be God speaking. At that point, you can access the app. Yeah. Only at that point. So there was a period of him awakening you. That can take 6 months. It can take a day. Depends how sharp you are in the spirit or how dull you are in the flesh. He awakens me like one being taught. So my advice to you is remove the obstruction to your hearing, God. Hearing is not enough. Hearing is not enough. Many of you are hearing right now, but some of you can't be taught. Certain days, some of us can't be taught. Other days, we can. Depends what we brought into church with us. It all depends what we brought in, what emotions, what kind of week we've had. Sometimes we're thinking about that and we cloud out what God and drive out what God's trying to say. We've all done it. He awakens my ear like one being taught. So remove the obstruction, clear the path so God can speak. Hearing is just but a sound, but listening is the art. Listening is the art. Hearing is a sound. Hearing is just the sound. But listening is the art. Because in the listening comes understanding, comes instructions, comes all kinds of things. Listening is the gateway to understanding. You can hear, but you can hear the pitch. Your ears are designed to hear, but you have to lean in to listen. Mom says, listen to me, listen to me. The kid says, I'm listening. No, you're just hearing me. There's a difference with listening. Listening has a different response than just hearing. I don't have to listen to John if he's speaking. I can just hear him. But if he's going to say something personal to me, I must listen. That's respect. Listening is the art. But many of us just fall into the category of hearing and hearing only. And the Bible says, don't be hearers. But a doer is a listener. A doer is a listener. But then the trouble is the dominant thought says, I'll listen to what I want to listen to. Well, that's not a listener. Because your emotions are now driving the conditions. And we are creatures of habit. God's given us emotions, and we have part of this self-control. We have to recognize when our emotions are getting the better of us. So, the Lord opened my ears, and I have not drawn back, he says. Does this best describe you? Have you drawn back? That's what he says. So let's go to Ezekiel 46. Let me show you something. Ezekiel 46. Let's pick it up at verse 13. Ezekiel 46, verse 13. So remember, we're now talking about the word comes to us as a seed. It's implanted. And it can come to you in the middle of the night. It can come to you when you wake up in the morning. It can be the first dominant thought in your mind on every day, on any given day. As you go into Ezekiel, let me just read that scripture back to you again. The sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ears to listen. Listen, being awoken every morning is a blessing, is it not? But is that all we want to do? Just awake so we can just go about our life? He says he awakens you for a purpose. He awakens you to hear, to listen to what he's been saying. That's why he wakes us. He stirs us and wakes us up so we can listen to his voice. So he wakes us and ears to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears so that I won't become rebellious. Now listen, your ears, he's not talking about your physical ears, he's talking about the ears of your spirit. Not your physical ears, because are we saying if someone's deaf, they can't hear God? No. God speaks internally. It's an internal audible voice that comes on the inside. When I hear God say, dream center, he said it that loud, I almost thought someone spoke it in the room. But it was an internal voice that vibrated and shook me and grabbed my attention. Why? Because it was dominant. It was dominant. So let's go to Ezekiel. And let me read you a strange scripture and I'll make sense of it. It's a strange scripture to read you. It's not strange in its own context, but it just seems strange in the context of what I'm talking about right now, but I'll make it perfectly clear to you. He says, every day, in verse 13 of Ezekiel 46, every day you are to provide a year-old lamb without defect for a burnt offering to the Lord. Morning by morning you shall provide it. You are also to provide it with it, morning by morning, grain offering, consisting of a sixth of an ether with a third of hin of oil to moisten the flour. The presenting of this grain offering to the Lord is a lasting ordinance. So the lamb and the grain offering and the oil shall be provided morning by morning for a regular burnt offering. Now, it seems a lot of detail and a lot of attention has to be given. Does it not? But this was a typical Levitical instruction given to Israel that God was saying, look, my ways are not your ways. If you're going to please me, this is how we do business. But I want to open your eyes and your ears so you can pay attention to key words that's being mentioned in this text. You see, they could hear what God was saying, or they could listen. Their listening to what God said will determine whether they obey what God says. They're listening. God was after their listening, not just their hearing. Now, in this context, there are protocols and instructions being given in order for a nation to be found pleasing and accepting in God's sight. Protocol behavior. And he's saying, guys, these are non-negotiable. This is what you must do. If you don't do this, you're in trouble. Serious trouble. So, this instruction had to be, you're going to hear words called every day. Every day. Every day. Then you're going to hear the instruction morning by morning. So there's an every day. And then he says, do this morning by morning. Then he says, you'll hear this word repeated, regular. So we've now got every day, morning by morning, regular. These are not just suggestions, these are instructions. So he wants this to become the dominant thinking in their minds, which will then create the right behavior, which will then bring them into the blessing and the presence of God. How you hear will determine whether you come into the blessing or not. What you do has to be done regular, has to be done daily, has to be done morning by morning. It's not optional, it's not negotiable. God says, draw aside and let me speak to you on a day-to-day basis. So it has to be done daily. It has to be done regular. It has to be done morning by morning. Now, if you can't get morning because you start early, that's fine. But sometime in the day, fall into the everyday. Yeah? These are words instructing him to a distinct behavior. I want you, says, I want you to provide a year-old lamb without defect, without for the burnt offering. And morning by morning, you shall provide it. You were also to provide it with it morning by morning, a grain offering, consisting of a sixth of an ether with a third of a hin of an oil to moisten the flour. This all sounds very confluted, but God's saying, look, these are my terms and conditions. Hear well, he says, Israel. Hear, O Israel. He didn't say, listen, Israel. He said, hear. Because I want what I'm saying to become dominant in you. Because there are other voices also wanting to become dominant. And each voice will drive you to a behavior. You get this? So dominant thoughts lead us to choices and decisions. And they do it daily. And they become regular. Habits are dominant thoughts. So let's go to Zephaniah. Now, somewhere, someone, somewhere, the Bible tells us that choices, dominant thoughts lead to choices and actions. Morning, but I'll show you how God operates morning by morning. And this scripture is a word of the Lord to somebody. What do we say? Every day. Morning by morning, regular. God operates by the eternal, every day, morning by morning, and he's regular. Right? Can we understand that? Now let's see what he does in that every day, morning by morning, eternal dominance. He says this in Zephaniah 3:5. The Lord within her is righteous. He does no wrong. Morning by morning, he dispenses his justice. And every day, he does not fail. So we see a morning by morning and everyday behavior by God. And what does he do? He dispenses justice. Phil, this is a word for you. Every day, he dispenses justice. Morning by morning. someone, somewhere in the earth, God is declaring over justice. God is declaring. You are about to hear a testimony very soon about this very thing of justice. You're about to hear a testimony very soon. I know in part, so that's why I'm telling you. I know it's coming because I know the person who's about to give a testimony. And it's a very powerful testimony of how God dispenses justice to the righteous. But every day, someone, somewhere, God, morning by morning and every day, He is speaking justice to the righteous. To the righteous. And He tells us here, He does no wrong. Morning by morning, He dispenses His justice, and every day He does not fail. Yet the righteous have no shame. No shame. I tell you, God is a justice God. He's a God of justice, should say. And every day. And the word dominant means having power and influence over people, over a situation or over a circumstance. God is a dominant God. There is none like Him. There is no rival. He has no equal. His Son is the only equal He has. He's the exact representation of the Father. Amen? See, the word from dominant, we get the word dominance. And we all know, to some degree, it's commanding, it's controlling, it's having great influence over others. Now, that can be negative and positive. We have dominant, we have political figures who are dominant, who have term after term after term. If you take Berlusconi, or you take other parties, political parties, some might get 12 years in power. You may get, if you take tennis right now, tennis has got, I've never known a time for tennis to have three outstanding players, Djokovic, Federer, Nadal. Oh, and you can put Andy Murray in there because he's been very good. The Englishman, we call him an Englishman when he wins. He's a Scotsman when he loses. But there's never been a time when I've known so many great, great players dominating that field. And then we have Man City. Glory, glory, hallelujah. So we have Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton dominated the field. So we know what dominance looks like. It's strong, it's prolonged, it's significant, it's powerful, it's unstoppable. God is dominant. Yeah? And I was impressed by David Swartz. And David Swartz was the professor at South Georgia University in America, and he said, and he was quizzed about, well, it's a prestigious university, and they were saying, well, what kind of candidates do you have? Are you looking for? You know, and this is what he said. He said, where success is concerned, people are not measured by inches, pounds, or by college degree. In our university, we don't measure people that way. We don't measure them by their family background. We don't measure by their colour. Do you know what we measure them by? The size of their thinking. And the capacity to think differently is what this university is looking for in their students. When God put His word inside you and me, He gave you capacity to think differently. He gave you capacity to rise above. You see this? You can rise above circumstance. Why? Because He awakens me morning by morning as one being taught, and He gives me a word to sustain the weary. The weary some days is you. The weary one sometimes is you and me. It's not somebody else. And that's why God must be able to speak to us, and we must be able to access the app quickly. Because God is speaking. See, the other week on my prayer walk, you know when God speaks, because He speaks in such a way sometimes that you could not have formulated what He said. And I find that astounding. when God speaks like that. And it's important for me to tune into God quickly so I can get the accurate response. And I can draw out the marrow out the bone. Yeah? See, I can hear my father saying to me, and surely he'll know it as soon as I say it. You know, I had this great gift of digging my own hole with my mouth as a kid. I know you don't believe me. And I would let my emotions get the better of me. And when I'd start arguing, I'd run off at the mouth, and all kinds of nonsense would come out. And it was only getting worse. I was digging such a hole for myself. I was getting deeper and deeper. I was so deep, I was undercover. And I can hear the words of my father saying, Tony, I'd say, what? He'd say, let's come back to the first rule. What? Make sure you engage your brain before you put your mouth into gear. And that was my father's golden advice to me. Tony, why not engage your brain before you put your mouth into gear? And he's saying, son, you must be able to control your thoughts. The dominant thoughts have to be controlled. Yes, you have capacity to tell me how you feel, but your thinking's lousy. And you know what? That's how many of us are. We're great at telling people how we feel, but we're not good at thinking. Why? Because we let our emotions speak for us. And God says, when I awaken you morning by morning, I don't do it with emotions. I speak to you in a perfect, peaceful, calm state. And I drop it inside of you, and I stand back and I watch to see what you will do with it. And how you will respond to what I'm imparting into your spirit. So that through the day you will feed on it. And as you feed on it and nourish it and water it, more will begin. More clarity will come. More understanding. And slowly but surely, you are aligning yourself to my ways, my thoughts that are higher than yours. Let's stand to our feet. Psalm 139 says this, search me, O God, know my heart. I want you to just close your eyes, if you will, bow your head. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. There they are, the emotions, the dominant thoughts and emotions combined. See if there's any offensive way within me, and lead me into the way everlasting. The ever way everlasting is his thoughts, his ways. The things that are higher than you, the things that you and I don't always contemplate. I want you now, just before the Lord, to say, Lord, bring your anxiousness before the Lord. And the Lord says, from this day on, I want you to stop talking like you feel. And I want you to start thinking differently. Can we have thoughts without feelings? Yes, we can. Not every thought has to have a feeling. And God wants us to operate more by his thoughts than by your feelings. And that starts right now. Why? Because that's the word's coming to you right now. It's the only day. Today is every day. This is one of the days of every day. This is the morning. God works by every day, morning by morning, regular. I want you to, if you learn nothing today, other than God is a God who works every day, morning by morning, and he works regular. And so must you. Bring your anxious thoughts before the Lord every day, morning by morning, regular. The Bible says, he says, don't pray anxiously. Don't pray anxiously. Pray peacefully, righteously. Lord, if there's any offensive way within me, take it out. Come on, just ask the Lord right now. Strip it out. Take it out of me, Lord. Take it out of me. Take it out of me. Every day, Lord, morning by morning, regular. Lord, I choose to align my will every day, morning by morning, regular. Open my ears. Open me as one being taught to hear, to listen, to be instructed. Oh, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, just give him your anxious thoughts, whatever it is. You may be anxious on behalf of somebody else, something else. Law says, don't be anxious. Trust. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in me. Trust in me. Chris and Catherine, I want you to just come here. We'll pray for you. As people are praying, just offer the praise to the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you. Waking me morning by morning. Waking me morning by morning as one being taught. One being taught. One being taught. Regular. Every day. Morning by morning. This is my desire. This is your desire. So let the two hearts become one. Sire babara corianda la brassatarianda. Mitara bababa carianda la brassarianda. Oh, Father. Father, we thank you for your word today. Yes. We are better with this word than we are without it. Your ways are better than ours. Your thoughts are higher than ours. Your name be glorified. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. People of God said...